Sunday is the fast of Yitzayim B'Tammuz. And it's the beginning of the three-week period which we set every single year to reflect upon and mourn the destruction of the Beis Hamikdash. In addition to that, all the destruction and all the difficulties and challenges we've had throughout history. And it's a time really for reflection. It's a time that we have difficulty very often to understand what are we missing, what are we lacking, what is it that we're trying to actually remember? For what are we mourning? And Baruch Hashem, we live in a very, very peaceful time, in a time where we're very prosperous, a time very comfortable. And it's hard for us to feel in our lives what we are lacking and where the loss came from. But the time of year really that's designated to contemplate and to do tshuva. And we're not just supposed to mourn, we're supposed to mourn to the point where we feel the loss, we feel the fact that we have wronged Hashem, we've done something wrong, and we then are supposed to improve our own lives, do tshuva, and become better people. But it's a fascinating thing. I always was very amazed by the words of Chazal. Tisha B'Av we view as a terribly tragic day, a day of mourning. But yet Chazal referred to it as a moed. It's referred to like a holiday. And if you look at source number one on the sheets. So it's a halacha. The halacha is brought in Shulchan Aruch. Ein omram tachanun b'Tisha B'Av. We skip tachanun Tisha B'Av. V'nofen al paneyam yishum de mikri moed. Because the day is called a moed. So it's fascinating. We skip Tachanun on days that are joyous. There are days of happiness. Tisha B'Av we think is the day we should say double Tachanun or something. It's the saddest day of the year. But yet Chazal tell us that Tisha B'Av is a moed. It's a day which is referred to as Lashon of a holiday. And therefore, because of that, we skip Tachanun on Tisha B'Av. And what's the source for that? It's a pasuk. Pasuk in Eicha. It's quoted here as well. It says, Amkar lai moed lishbor b'churai. They called upon it a moed in order to destroy, to break our young men. So what kind of holiday is that? It's a holiday to destroy us, to kill us. It's a holiday. So it happens to be the same word. Moed, it's the same Russian being used in the Pasuk as we would use for a holiday. But it's a very strange thing. What is actually is this joyous aspect of Tisha B'Av? What are we trying to focus in on that's a moed? There's actually a very interesting medrash as well, which is cited in halachic sources in a very interesting way. But the Medrash has also a connotation of some sort of joy of Tisha B'Av. It says in the Medrash that Me'achar shen yoshim v'ochel v'shosin u'mishtakrin. It says that people will eat on Erev Tisha B'Av and they'll drink and even get drunk. B'sudas Tisha B'Av yoshvin v'koran kinin v'nehi v'eicha. Then they sit down and read kinos and eicha. So some idea of, again, we don't necessarily practice this, but the Medrash has some sort of reference to a joyous meal Erev Tisha B'Av. Our meal is very somber. Our meal is very solemn. But there seems to be some aspect of Tisha B'Av that does relate to a moed. There's some sort of, I don't want to call it a joy, but some sort of expression of a holiday on Tisha B'Av. So what's the idea of a moed on Tisha B'Av? A moed, I think we can understand, many commentaries point out, it's related to the word like a beis vad l'chachamim, a place where we will come together. A moed is a time where we gather and meet together. And who do we meet with on a moed? We meet with Hashem. It's a day where we have a rendezvous with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. It's a day where it's on the calendar. And usually the moed is a very joyous gathering. It's a day where we gather with Hashem. We interact with Hashem. We perceive and feel Hashem's presence in a very, very joyous and miraculous way. On Tisha B'Av, we feel that presence of Hashem as well. It's a rendezvous with Hashem. But yet it's done in a way which is much more somber, much more solemn. It's a day where we experience Hashem as well. Tisha B'Av is an incredible experience with Hashem. Unfortunately, it was a difficult experience, not a joyous experience, but it was certainly Hashem's Hashkacha which created Tisha B'Av as well. And we have to contemplate the fact that the natural state of a Jew is to feel very close to Hashem. We're called Am Karovo, or Hashem's close nation. On Tisha B'Av, it's the time we reflect upon the fact that we've become very distant from Hashem. We don't feel Karo, we feel Rachok. And it's a time where there is this closeness with Hashem in that there was Hashkacha involved, but in a distance which is there. Even as we left for Golos, Chazal tell us, as the Beis Hamikdash was being destroyed, as we were being thrown out of our land, as we were experiencing all the tragedy of the Chorban, the Kruvim, which were seem to be the ones depicted upon the curtains of the Beis Hamikdash, they embraced. Chazal tell us that the Kruvim upon the Aron and seemingly also upon the curtains used to reflect Hashem's view of Klal Yisrael. So at times where Hashem was happy with us, they would embrace one another. At times where Chas V'Shalom, things were not going so smoothly, they would turn away. At the day of the Churban, the Kruvim embraced, which was a sign that Hashem's punishment, Hashem's din, which came upon us in Tisha B'Av, was actually a sign of love of Hashem. It's a sign of Hashem's care. It is an expression of us being Hashem's Am HaNivchar. So I want to try to reflect upon one very important and empowering point, which is relevant to the 3 weeks in Tisha B'Av, which I think we miss at times, but I think it's something that we can reflect upon and really gain from this period of the year. I want to begin with an interesting medrash. I have it quoted here in source number 2. It's actually a medrash which relates to Pesach, as we'll see in a second, and it shows the connection between Tisha B'Av and Pesach. It's Echa Rabba, Rabbi Oven Pasach. Hisbiani bamrorim b'leilei haPesach shel Yom Tov HaRishon hirvani lana v'tisha b'av. There's a pasuk in Echa. It says that Hashem, Hisbiani bamrorim, Hashem, He satiated us with maror. That's on Pesach, we eat maror. And then it says hirvani lana, Hashem saturated us with lana. Lana is translated by the Art Scroll as wormwood. I'm not sure exactly what that is, but it seems to be something very bitter. Lana. It's a very bitter thing to eat. So it says that we've been satiated with maror, with bitter herbs, and we've been hirvani, we've been saturated with lana, with wormwood, with something also very bitter. So Chazal see a connection there. Maror certainly refers to Pesach, and the lana, this bitter wormwood, refers to Tisha B'Av. And this is a reference to the idea that every single year, the same night we have the first Seder is the same night on the calendar of Tisha B'Av. This year, the first Seder was on a Friday night, and this year also Tisha B'Av will occur on Shabbos. We'll push it off till Sunday. Every single year, it's always the same day of like Tisha B'Av and Pesach. It's not a coincidence. Why is it? And Chazal found a source for it in Megillah Seicha, and Chazal see it as some form of connection. It's also quoted in Halacha, look at source number 3, on Pesach night itself. We all know we have a minhag on Pesach night to eat eggs. We put an egg on the Seder plates. Many of us begin the Seudah on Pesach night with eggs. You dip your egg in salt water, or dump salt water on your egg, but you have an egg Pesach night. So there's many, many explanations why you have that egg. But if you look at source number 3, the Ramah explains in Shulchan Aruch, and in the middle line there, he says, V'nireli, Hatam, why do we eat eggs on Pesach? Shalol yifishabav nikvav lo Pesach. It's because of this concept, that the night of Pesach is always the same night of the week as Tisha B'Av. So there we are at the Pesach Seder, one of the most joyous times of the Jewish year. We're celebrating Hashem's Geula, the great Nisim of Mitzrayim, the Makos Bechoros, leaving Mitzrayim, going off into the Midbar to be supported by Hashem. And there on the table in front of us is a reminder of Tisha B'Av. It seems very incongruous. It doesn't make sense why it should be there. But what is it that we're trying to point out by remembering Tisha B'Av on Pesach? I understand remembering Pesach on Tisha B'Av. When we're suffering in Galus, we want to remember Hashem's Geula. But how come on the night where we're focused so much on Geula, on Hashem's Nisim, why on that night do we make this reference to Tisha B'Av? It's a very strange thing. We even have a kina. On Tisha B'Av we say, which makes that connection. We have kinah lam beis that I have quoted in the sheets. But the kinah says, it keeps contrasting betzeisim Mitzrayim and betzeisim Yerushalayim. When I left Mitzrayim, I left Yerushalayim. Those two concepts are connected. Leaving Mitzrayim, the day of Geula, the day of Hashem's Nisan, the day of Hashem's great love for us, and the day of Tisha B'Av, betzeisim Yerushalayim, the day where Hashem threw us out of Yerushalayim, rejected us as it seems. And the two are put together. They're connected. How do we understand that connection? So I think this medrash and these connections bring out a very important point about what it means to be a Jew and what Tisha B'Av means to us. And let me begin with an analogy. If you picture, let's say, somebody who is chosen for promotion in a company. So when you're chosen for a promotion, you're given a lot more responsibility, hopefully a raise in salary, better benefits, but also with the responsibility comes accountability. If you make a mistake and you're more powerful in a higher job, so it can be have much more detrimental effect upon the company than in a lower role. So for instance, a CEO makes some sort of decision, makes a bad mistake. He understands something in a way which is inappropriate, and he makes a decision for the company which is not going to be positive. He can destroy the entire company. His decisions carry with him so much weight that one decision made on high can impact every single employee, every single product, and the entire future of the company. Now let's say the custodian makes a mistake. He forgets to mop a certain corner, he doesn't take out a certain trash can. So his job is important. We need the building to be clean. But that mistake will not impact the entire company. It's not going to affect the product which is being produced or every single employee's job. It won't affect the same way that the CEO's decisions will affect the company. So on Pesach night, we are chosen to be Hashem's CEO, as it were. We're the Am HaNivchar, Hashem's chosen people. That began on Pesach night. When we left Mitzrayim, Hashem said, "You are my people. I punished Mitzrayim. I killed their Bechoros. I saved you. You're entering in with me to the Midbar." But that means you are given a promotion. We've been promoted. No longer are you the regular, everyday person living in the world. Rather, you've become Hashem's chosen people. You're the Am HaNivchar. You're Hashem's CEO. You're the one supposed to run the business. You're supposed to make sure that the mission of Hashem comes out to this world appropriately. So that means that we're given greater salary, greater schar, greater opportunities, greater privileges, greater benefits. But the responsibility carries with it accountability. And the moves we make, the decisions we make, if they're not the right decisions, can be much more detrimental and have a negative impact on the entire world. And we have to suffer the consequences. The expectations are there. There's very high expectations of us. And we have to live up to those expectations. Pesach is the time where we understand this concept, that we are the Am HaNivchar, we're giving a lot of responsibility, and therefore, any move we make, if it's not done appropriately, can have major impacts on the world. And there's a responsibility which we have, which carries with it a lot of power, and a lot of opportunity, but we also be very, very careful what we do. So that, I think, is the connection you find between Pesach and Tisha B'Av. It's the understanding that we're Am HaNivchar, and it works in both ways. It works that we have a lot of power, and a lot of privilege and responsibility, but also means that we have to be accountable for our actions. That's the idea. The accountability that we have, the punishments we have to endure, Tisha B'Av, Galus, Churban, it's not in spite of the fact that we're so great, it's because of the fact we're so great. It's because since we are held to such high esteem, because Hashem has such high hopes for us, high expectations, because we have so much power and so much responsibility, because of that we've had to suffer. Because since we've made the wrong decisions, those decisions have impacted everything in the world. I want to read with you a fascinating piece from Nefesh HaChaim. It's source number 4 here. Nefesh HaChaim, written by Rechaim of Volozhin, who was a Talmud of the Vilna Gaon. He writes a sefer which, you know, it's somewhat Kabbalistic and somewhat Musar, a very, very interesting, rich sefer. But he tries to describe in the sefer the power of an act of a Jew. The act of a Jew is so powerful. And we'll read some of, not the whole thing, we'll read some of the passage here. He describes it in a very powerful way. Source number 4. He says, Zos Torah Sa'adam, Ko Ish Yisrael Yomar Belibo Chas V'Shalom, Ki Ma'ani Umakochi Lifo B'Masai HaShfalim, Shum Inyim Be'olam. No Jew should ever say, what am I? What can I do? I'm so small. My actions are meaningless. Never say that. Never think your actions are meaningless. Amnam Yavin V'Yeda, a person should know. V'yikvav Nachshavas Libo, and he should understand in his heart. Shekol Prate Maisa V'Diburav Machshavosav. Every single little action or speech or thought that we have, ko'es v'raga, every single moment, lo'es v'yuch Hashem, was never ever lost. Everything we do goes into Hashem's accounting. U'marabu masav u'ma'od gadlu v'ramu. How great are our deeds and how powerful are they? How elevated are they? Shko echad ole sh'pi sharsha lifol pulasa begavhe meronim b'olamos v'sachtachos ha'oros ha'yonim. He says that every single move we make, every thought we have, every word that comes out of our mouths, it has impact in all the worlds. A person who's wise and understands this, libo yachil bekirbo, the person becomes terrified, in trepidation. Because we understand the power that we have. We understand how powerful we can be. We as Jews have the power in our hands to build or to destroy. We have so much power. But some of myself, Asher lo tov mechas shalom, at heichan him magim. We should be so scared to understand that our bad decisions and our bad deeds, chas v'shalom, how far do they reach? The kalkol laharos bechet kal chas shalom. Even one small sin can be so destructive. And he says something very powerful here. He says, "Har be yoser ma shehechriv Nebuchadnezzar v'Titus." Even more so than that which Titus Nebuchadnezzar did. Nebuchadnezzar and Titus—they're the ones who came in, destroyed the Bate Mikdash. Nebuchadnezzar, the first one, Titus, the second one. They destroyed something very physical. They went to a building and they knocked it down and destroyed it and burnt it. But when a Jew makes a move, then we impact not only the entire world, but the spiritual realms, we impact everything. So all that Titus, Nebuchadnezzar and Titus, they were terrible Rishayim, they did terrible things. But all they're able to accomplish was in a very, very limited realm. Like we said before, and the mashal is like the custodian. How much can he really, really destroy in a company? But yet a Jew's action is something which is so powerful, it impacts worlds. It impacts the entire world that we're in, and it impacts all the spiritual realms. And what we do is so much more powerful than anything else, anything any goy could do. It says, the actions of those terrible Rishayim, who destroyed the Bate Mikdash, their actions did not affect even one iota above, meaning that nothing in the spiritual realm was impacted at all by Titus's or Nebuchadnezzar's actions. They have no power to impact the higher worlds. What happened? Because of our sins, we caused an impact in the upper worlds, and then that left the Beis Hamikdash vulnerable, and now it was open to be destroyed by the Goyim. I'm going to skip down to the next paragraph. Hagah. It's a note. The Karav Lishmo Shagam Zidukhal Kavanasam. He says interesting pshat in Pirkei Avos. Pirkei Avos says, Da Mala Mala Mimcha. So the simple understanding of it is a person should be aware of what's above them. Yeah, Kodesh Baruch Hu. Be aware of Kodesh Baruch Hu is a simple meaning. But he says this is much deeper than we think. What does it mean? Rotzeh Lomar, Im Ki Incha Ro Beinecha Anyonim HaNoroim HaNasim Mimasecha. We have to know that that which happens above is Mimcha. It's from us. That which is done in the upper worlds is our impact. Aval Teda Nemana Ki Kol Ma Shnasel Maila Bo Lomo Sal Yonim Gavoim Gavoim Kol Mimcha Hu Al Pi Masecha La Notim. So Nefesh HaChaim says that everything which happens in the greatest upper worlds impact our entire world. It's based on our deeds and our actions. So Klai Yisrael is given the key. We're given the key to impact not only the physical in front of us, but everything. And when the Jews make a move, we have so much power in our hands that we can build and we can accomplish tremendous things. But Chas Shalom, we can also be very destructive and cause destruction in this world. So I would go back to that medrash, and we connect Pesach to Tisha B'Av. The idea is on Pesach, we were chosen as Hashem's powerful, chosen people. Our actions are meaningful and significant. They have power. They may have impact. And every single action a Jew makes is so, so powerful. And we do the right things, we build, and we accomplish incredible, incredible feats. We do the wrong things, Chas V'Shalom, and we can be very destructive. And it's something we have to really focus upon, we'll talk about more, is the power of our actions. The accountability which comes from this then makes a lot of sense. If our actions are so powerful, we can be so destructive, so we have to suffer the consequences. We have to be held accountable for it. If somebody is in a very high position in a company and is not making the right decisions, they're accountable. They're going to have to own up to their mistakes. And we have to do the same. But I want to point out something very interesting, which is that, you know, we think that really being Amnivkar means all the great things that come with it. It means all the special schar and the special position we have in this world. But Chazal in many places see this idea of having to deal with consequences and accountability as an essential part of being a Jew. Now, it sounds strange to us. Like, we should be doing the right things not to deal with it. But on the other hand, it's all a sign, again, of our power. We're such powerful people. We have so much we're supposed to accomplish. Hashem gave us so much we can do. Part of being a Jew is the accountability as well. The Arizal, he has for every single month a different way of, you know, the Shem Hashem, Yud Kei Vav Kei, is four letters. So Arizal, every single month of the year, he has a different arrangement of those letters, which is supposed to mean something about that month. Kabbalistic ideas. But they've pointed out different Svarim that the arrangement of the letters for the month of Av is the, where is it here? There it is. It's source number 5. In the pasuk, it says, "Vayadaber Moshe v'kohanim alviim kol Yisrael lemor." Moshe and the kohanim and alviim spoke to Klal Yisrael, and they said, "Haskis ushma Yisrael hayom." So if you look at the first letters of those words, Hey, Vav, Yud, Hey, that's the arrangement of the letters of Hashem's name for Av. So again, in the Kabbalistic realm, that means something. I'm not really sure what it means, but the pasuk which is used, the reference to this pasuk. So what's the pasuk used for Av? It says, Haskis v'shma Yisrael, listen and hear Yisrael. Hayom hazeh niyisa la'am Hashem hakecha. Today you've become a nation to Hashem. So it's an incredible thing. When do we think we became Hashem's nation? We would all say, Nisan. By Pesach, we became Hashem's nation. Maybe Shavuos, maybe in Sivan, maybe after the Torah, we became Hashem's nation. But the Arizal in this pasuk is pointing out that Av is a time where we say, Hayom hazeh niyisa la'am. Av is a time where we become an Am, Hashem's nation. That's the month of Av. We'd have said the opposite. We'd have thought that Nisan's time are Hashem's nation, and Av is a time that kind of we scattered, and we lost our nationhood. But it's really the opposite. Chazal understand that the Asurim that we endure, the Gullus that we have, that's something which is not to the, you know, in spite of our identity as an Am, but that is our identity as an Am. And in a certain sense, we're a stronger nation in Gullus. When you're in a land, so what bonds you together? It's the land. When you're all together and you have achdus, so you're a nation because you're together. Now the Klal Yisrael is scattered to the four corners of the earth, and we have to endure so much, and we're still a nation? That's probably a more powerful expression of nationhood than being together in one country. That's what it seems like. And Tisha B'Av is the day where we hold up this idea of Hayom Hazeh Nisei La'am. Today you have become a nation. There's a fascinating Gemara in the Maseches Chagiga, source number 6. The Gemara says, quotes a pasuk in the Torah, V'chara api bo b'yom ahu v'azavtim. Hashem says, I will be angry at them on that day. I will leave them. V'starti panayim, I will hide my face from them. That's the pasuk. Amar Bartala Bartav Yumi Amar Rav, Kol she'eno behester panim, eno mehem. So the pasuk says, I will hide my face from them. Rav says, anybody who has not experienced Hashem hiding from them is not part of the nation. I mean, being a Jew means that you're going to experience Hester Panim. That's what the Gemara says. And then it says, the Pasuk then says they will be consumed by the nations. The Gemara says, if we haven't experienced Vahaya Le'echol, this idea of being consumed by nations, we're not identifying with Klal Yisrael. We're not part of the Am. I mean, the Gemara is saying that the ticket to being a Jew doesn't only mean that on Pesach we experience the Geula, but also means that on Tisha B'Av we've experienced the difficulties. They go together. Again, they're the two sides of the same exact coin. That's the idea of Tisha B'Av. Because part of being the Am HaNivchar, part of having this power, part of being the chosen people, means not only all the special privileges, but it also means having to endure the consequences. And they all go together. It's all an expression of our nationhood. Rav Pinkus, that's how, says an interesting mashal. You know, kids, when we raise kids, so often you reward your kids and give them incentives, and often you have to discipline kids. So we don't mind when others give our kids rewards. If kids come to shul and they're davening nicely, they go over to the guy with the lollipops, and they get the lollipop, we're very happy. Now I'll give a lollipop, he'll give a lollipop. We don't mind that our kids are being rewarded by someone else. But if someone goes over and gives our kid a patch, we'd be very upset. We'd be very upset with somebody. How dare you touch my kid? So when it comes to discipline, that's between the parent and the child. We don't let others discipline our children. So Pinkus says, that's Tisha B'Av. Tisha B'Av is a stronger connection with Hashem in that way, because when Hashem gives us good things, okay, you know, Hashem's doing it, but, you know, Hashem will let others do it as well. When it comes to disciplining a child, so we would say only the father can do that, or the mother. We don't let strangers discipline our children. Tisha B'Av is a day where Hashem comes in as our father, as our loving father, and says that you're so special, I've done so much for you, you have to have some discipline right now. But it's an expression of Hashem's love, it's an expression of the uniqueness of Klal Yisrael, of being the Am HaNivchar. It's not Hashem rejecting us, Chas V'Shalom. It's not that Hashem is throwing us out and saying, I don't care about you. It's the opposite. Hashem is saying, because I still hold you to be a powerful, chosen people, you still have my special mission, so you're my CEO. You're supposed to carry out my mission to this world. And therefore, I have to give you a patch right now to discipline you. That's what I have to do. Hashem won't let anyone else do that, because that's to come directly from the parents. This is pointed out even Haman's wife, Zeresh, in the Megillah. She points this out as well. The Gemara tells us, the Pasuk says, Ki napol tipol lefanov, that Zeresh warns Haman, if Mordechai is a Jew, and Mordechai is on his way up, you better be careful, because you're going to fall down. That's what Zeresh tells Haman. Now the Gemara explains, what was she explaining? She was explaining that Klal Yisrael is a very unique nation, in that we're compared both to the dust and to the stars. And Zeresh tells Haman, when the Jews are going up, they go up, 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 up to the stars. When the Jews are going down, they go down, down, down into the dirt. There's no time where Klal Yisrael stagnates. Being that we're Hashem's chosen people, either we are accomplishing and building, or Chas V'Shalom, Hashem has to be teaching us what we should be doing, to discipline us. But Klal Yisrael is always subject to Hashem's hashkacha. It's never a rejection. It's never that you've done wrong and I'm throwing you out and I'm ignoring you. It's always that you're my nation, I still entrust you with my mission, I still have confidence in you, and therefore you have to suffer consequences, you have to own up to the mistakes that you've made. But if you've done that, I'm still here with you, I'm still taking care of you. And that's what Zeresh was a very wise woman. She understood that and told Haman, you better be careful. If Mordechai's on the way up, you're going to go down. You got to recognize that. There's another fascinating Gemara I want to quote over here. It's source number 8, Gemara Ksuvis. The Gemara Ksuvis, we'll skip some part of it, but it tells a story of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was really the Gadol Hador at the time of the Chorban. We have the famous stories about him at the time of the Chorban, trying to deal with the Roman generals. And Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, it says, Tana Rabbanim, Maisa Bichonim and Zakai Sherochev al Chamer. He was once riding on a donkey. Hayotzim Rishalayim. He was leaving Rishalayim. Vayetalmidav Mahalchen Achrav. And his students were following him. Rabbi Va'achas Chaisa Melechetas Orim. He saw a young woman who was on the ground gathering up barley kernels. Mibein Gwali Behemtan Sharviim. In between the dung of the animals of the Arabs. So this poor girl, obviously she had nothing to eat, and she had to be on the floor gathering up barley kernels amongst the dung of animals. Kemish Rasa was so she saw Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai on the way. This Atva Besaira, V'amdalafanav, so she wrapped herself appropriately, I guess, to stand before the Gadol Hador. And Amrlo, she said to him, Rabbi Parnaseni, she said, Rabbi, I need Parnasa, I have no food to eat, please help me. Amr la Biti, so Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai said to her, Biti, my daughter, Mia, who are you? Tell me your name. Amra lo, she said to him, Bas Nakdimon ben Gurion ani. I'm the daughter of Nakdimon ben Gurion. Now, for those who know the stories, Nakdimon ben Gurion was one of the most wealthy people in Klal Yisrael. The Gemara tells us that there were three men in Yerushalayim who were extremely wealthy, and they could have supported the city for, I think, 22 years. They could have supported the entire city for a long period of time. They were very wealthy people. And this was the daughter of one of those wealthy people, Nakdimon ben Gurion. And she was on the ground collecting barley amongst the dung of animals. The story goes on. He says to her, what happened to all your money? He says it was lost, etc. So let's skip down to the bottom of the story. So the some four lines down from the bottom. Amar lahem l'talmidav. So Rav Yochanan said to his students, Zacharani, I remember, k'shechasamti al k'suvasa shelzu, I signed her k'suba. When she got married, she was very, very wealthy. And the chasam was very, very wealthy. And I signed that ksuba, and I remember that ksuba had so much money in it. Va'isa koraba elef alaf in derizov. There were tens of thousands of golden coins in the ksuba from her father's household. Chutz shechamia. That was besides what her father-in-law was chipping in. That was how wealthy she was. And now look at her; she's on the floor gathering up barley amongst dung of animals. Bachar Yochanan Zakkai. Yochanan Zakkai cried. Va'amar. And then he said, "Listen to what he said. Ashreichem Yisrael. How fortunate are you, Klal Yisrael?" When you're doing Hashem's will, nobody can touch you. But at a time you're not doing Hashem's will, you're given over into the hands of a lowly nation. Not only a lowly nation, into the hands of the animals of a lowly nation. Meaning she's collecting dung amongst the animals of Arabs, the animals of a lowly nation. But he said, Ashreichem Yisrael. Yochanan ben Zakkai said, you're so fortunate that you get to be subject to collecting barley amongst the dung of animals. A very, very funny thing. He told his Talmidim, Ashreichem. Look how great you are. The Ashreichem is going on both parts of the statement. It's saying, Ashreichem, when you are doing the right thing, nobody can touch you. You're invincible. And when you're doing the wrong things, you are given over into the hands of the lowly, lowly nation and the animals of the lowly nation. Now, what was he pointing out, Yochanan ben Zakkai? What was he trying to show? But it's this exact point, that the Ashreichem Yisrael, the idea that we're so fortunate, applies even at times of Golus and Yisurim, because that Golus, that Yisurim, and the fact we've gone so low, is only an outcome and an outgrowth of the fact we're the Am HaNivchar. Other nations don't experience the lows we've experienced. The Kuzri points out, a very famous passage of the Kuzri. The Kuzri is... They're talking about the Beis HaMikdash, talking about the fact there was a Churban, and the Chavar tells the king, of the Khuzars, and look at source number 9, he tells him, Ha'umos ha'mesos, shenasu lachkos es ha'uma ha'chaya, the dead nations that try to mimic the living nation, higiu l'kol yosir u'dimyon chitzoni. You know, they've created, at most, some form of superficial comparison to Klal Yisrael. I mean, many nations have built temples. Many nations have tried to do what we've done, but it's totally external. Amnam gam beinem ikimu batim lelokai. They have made temples to their gods. Ach batim mehem lonigla os meis lelokai. But yet, in their temples, never do they have the Shechina. Beis Mikdash had the Shechina. We had miracles happening there daily. Goyim have made temples, beautiful, great temples. But yet, never did they have a sign from God in those temples. V'yach gam zos bashchisam darkam. Listen, this is the key line, at least for our purposes. And when these goyim did the wrong things, kichatu, they sinned, v'avru chok, they went against the laws of their religions,
Lo yardu aleihem esh mishamayim. Never did they have destruction come to them from Shemayim. No fire burnt down their temple. L'megifas pisom. Never did they have to suffer a sudden plague. L'manidu el nachol kihaya ze'onashem el miriam. That was clear that it was a punishment for their rebellion. Meselakah. Kasher nifka libam ratzoni lomar abayasahu asher elov him mechonim estfiloseim lo bako shim matzavim. And when their temple was destroyed, it didn't change the nature of the nation. So the Kuzri points out that, you know, Goyim have built temples, but yet have they suffered the destruction we've suffered? They never had the Shechina in their temples, and they never had the destruction in their temples. It goes both ways. It's all part of being Am HaNivchar. Because our temple, because our Beis HaMikdash was something which was connected to Hashem, had Hashem's Shechina within it, because we had that special, unique relationship, the intimacy with Hashem, which was expressed through the Beis HaMikdash, because of that, we experienced Hashem's Shechina and the constant Nisim there, and because of that, we have to experience the destruction. But they go hand in hand once again. And we see this point over and over again, that the fact that we are the Am HaNivchar is what leads us to have to experience a time like Tisha B'Av. The Ger, the Gemara tells us, when a Ger is ready to accept upon himself the responsibility of being a Jew, and again, it's a responsibility. Being a Jew isn't just fun and games, as we know. Being Jewish means you have responsibilities. There's accountability. I mean, you have to take responsibility for your actions. So they tell a ger. The Gemara tells us in Yevamos, when a ger comes to be misgayer, to convert. So what do we tell him? The Gemara says we tell the ger. Iyata yedeish Yisrael b'zman hazeh devuyim. This is source 10. Devuyim dechufim schufim meturafim v'yisurim banaleim. Don't. What do you think you're doing? They tell the ger. Don't you know that Klai Yisrael b'zman hazeh suffers? That we are cast aside, that we have challenges and difficulties. Don't you know that being a Jew means that you're going to have to suffer too? That's what being Jewish, I mean, Baruch Hashem, right now we feel pretty comfortable, but historically, ever since the Churban, probably a majority of our years have been living with difficulties. And we tell the Ger, don't you know what you're getting into? Well, why do you want to get yourself involved in this? And the Ger is supposed to respond the following. The Gemara says, the Ger says, if the Ger tells us, Yodeani, I'm well aware of this, Ve'eini kedai, but yet I'm still not worthy to be a Jew. I'm well aware of what it means, that I may have to suffer, and I have to experience golus, but if only I could be Jewish. That would be a privilege for me to suffer as a Jew. If he says that, you accept immediately. And Rashi explains, what does it mean I'm not worthy? He says, Eini roi lishtatef etzarasan, I'm not worthy to join in their tzar. Me, Tedeskel, if only I could be zilcha to join the tzar of Klai Yisrael. Now, for us, it sounds very strange. But the ger, as he's entering into the fold, he has to recognize what it means to be a Jew. He knows, I'm about to become the Am HaNivchar. I'm about to become very, very powerful. I'm being given responsibility. I'm becoming the CEO of this company. I'm being entrusted by Hashem with his mission for all of history. So I know that because of that, I may have to go through some challenges, difficulties. And halavai, if only I could be zilcha to suffer as a Jew, that's worth it for me. That's what he says. That's what the Gemara tells us. And it's this point. The ger has to recognize, if you're going to be Jewish, you have to know that you are becoming part of the Am HaNivchar. And it doesn't just mean you get extra schar in Olam Haba, it means you have to take responsibility for what you do. That's what it means. The kina that we mentioned before, when it compares with Seis Mitzrayim and Seis Yerushalayim. It's over here, I have it on source number 11. So I quote one passage of it. But it's a fascinating kina in that it compares and contrasts leaving Mitzrayim, the great Nisim of Pesach and the Geula, with the Churban, with the Golus. And just to read a line or two, let's go to the second line, or the third line. Azar Shir Moshe Shoyin Hashem B'tis Mitzrayim. When they left Mitzrayim, Moshe sang the Shira Sayam at the sea, a song that wasn't forgotten. But then Mikunin Yirmiya V'nenihi Nehiya B'tis Mitzrayim. But then it says that Yirmiya had to do a different kind of song. Yirmiya had to sing Kinos and Echa B'tis Mitzrayim. So we wouldn't compare the Shir Sayam to Echa. But now we understand why they could be compared, because they're both coming from the same Shoresh. It's the same roots, the same source, the same foundation. It's that the Shir Sayam is us expressing, we've now experienced the great Nisim which Hashem provides for us, the Ashkach of Hashem. And so is Echa, it's also the Ashkach of Hashem. The Echa is no less Ashkach of Hashem than Yitzis Mitzrayim. We'd rather see the Ashkach of Yitzis Mitzrayim rather than Echa, but it doesn't mean any less hashkacha. There's no less intimate connection with Klal Yisrael on Pesach than on Tisha B'Av. It's the same connection. It's the same exact connection which is there. So the Golus of Tisha B'Av, if we're to focus on what it means to be in Golus, it means to experience Churban. It's not a state of being rejected by Hashem. Hashem tells us, "L'ma'astem l'ga'altim." I'm never going to despise you or reject you. I won't. It's a state of having to suffer because of the accountability we have for our actions. That's all it is. We're accountable for actions because we're the Aman Nivchar. And we're no less the Aman Nivchar because we're in Golus. You know, Goyim, throughout history, as they've come to kill us or destroy us, is the famous quote, you know, Jew, where is your God? They ask us, you know, where is your God? And the answer is, of course, our God is with us as He always was. We're the Aman Nivchar. And we're still the Aman Nivchar. It's because of, you're only able to kill me because I'm the Aman Nivchar. If not for that, you wouldn't have anything to do with me. Because I'm the chosen people, because I have the responsibility for my actions, that's why the Goy is able to cause problems. If not for that, he wouldn't be messing with us. That's how we understand Golus. And within Golus, it's very important to realize the Nisim that we've actually experienced during Golus. The Gemara tells us, the same Gemara Chagiga as we quoted before. The Gemara then relates an interesting story. The Gemara tells us that Rabbi Shuv ben Hananya was in the Caesar's palace, the Roman Caesar. And there was some heretic there, an Apikoros there, that made a hand motion to him. And what did he show him? He showed him, the Gemara explains, Amada drinu marle apemina. He made some sort of hand motion showing that Hashem has turned away from you. Hashem has rejected you. I don't know if it went like this or something. He did something to show that Hashem has rejected us. So Rabbi Shuv ben Hananya responded back to him and made another hand motion. He said, Yado natu yale. No, he said, Hashem's hand is still on us. I mean, the Goy saw, the heretic saw, the Apikoros saw, could have been a Jew, but the Apikoros saw that, look, we're rejected. Hashem has turned away from us. He no longer cares about us. And Rabbi Shuv ben Hananya told him, no, Yado natu yale. Hashem's hand is still upon us in Golos. Hashem's hand is still there. Even throughout Golos, Hashem is always with us. There is a, it's very important to understand the Nisim of Golos. The fact that Klal Yisrael still endures this very day, in a sense, is a greater miracle than Yetzias Mitzrayim. This is actually a quote from Yaakov Emden. It's in Source 13 here. I'm going to read this with you. It's a very fascinating quote. Yaakov Emden has, and it has a sitter called the Beis Yaakov. And in the introduction to the sitter, it's a very long introduction. But there he has a very famous quote. And let's read some of it together, because it's a very powerful quote. He says, Miha Iver, who is so blind, she'eno roe kisher ol matachton be'olyon, that doesn't see the connection of the lower world to the upper world, umaymid kasomech umaymid v'enash kachosu aliyam tamid, and doesn't see that Hashem is constantly supporting us, maintaining us, his ashkacha is constantly upon us. Ve'ch lo yivo shakofer bashkacha, how is it that a heretic won't be ashamed of seeing the ashkacha? He should be totally embarrassed and humiliated when he sees that Kosh Baruch Hu is still with us this very day. When they look at how unique we are in world history, we are the exile nation. Sepazura, as it's a quote from Nach, the scattered sheep. After everything that we've had to suffer, Metzaros, Vetzmuros, Alotim, Ashanim, Ve'en umav olam their defis, when no other nation has been so pursued as Klal Yisrael. Ma'ravim hayutzarenu, how many troubles have we gone through? Ma'atzmu nasu rosh akamaleinu minareinu lashmidenu lakreinu lashoshenu. They've come at us with so much power to destroy us and to uproot us and to obliterate us. Ve'asina, because of the hatred they have for Klal Yisrael. Shibasakina, which comes from their jealousy of us. Rabas tsrarunu, but yet, they've tried so hard, as we say on Pesach, they aren't able to destroy us. Every single generation, they come up against us, and Hashem saves us. That's the constant refrain of Jewish history. And we'll just skip it down, where does he say it? We're clinging to Hashem all alive today. Nothing has been lost of Klal Yisrael. I mean, yes, people have been killed, but we always come back. We always regenerate. We're learning the Torah, keeping the mitzvos. We build up a nation once again. We're always there. Nothing is lost. I feel os nikud echad mi haTorah shenichsav. Even one letter of the Torah has not been lost. Even one nekuda of the Torah has not been lost. Kol divrei chachamim kayamim l'yatu arz min olam l'shalt behem yad hazman. The words of the chachamim still endure. We still have the Gemara. We still have our Svarah. We still have our Torah. Mayanim is a pillow of Harif. Hayad Hamikra Sakulela. What will a atheist philosopher say about this? It's all happenstance, it's coincidence? Chai Nafshi, he says, I swear to you, Kibis Bonerni Beniflos Ela, when I think about these incredible miracles, these wonders, Gadolus etzli yoser mikol nisim flos yoser hamisparach lavasim mitzrayim. The nisim of enduring throughout Golus, he says, are greater nisim than that which occurred to us in Mitzrayim. The midbar in the desert, Eretz Yisrael, mechol mash aruch haGolus yoser nisamitz nis yoser. The longer we suffer in Golus, the more powerful the nis is. It's an incredible quote from Yaakov Emden. He says, you know, we picture Mitzrayim, the Makos, Kriyas Yamsuf, the time in the midbar, the Mon and the Be'er, the Anani HaKavod, entering Eretz Yisrael, the war, you know, the walls of Yericho falling, overtaking the land. He says that none of that compares to the fact that Klal Yisrael still is alive and well to this very day. It's an incredible thing. And that's exactly the point, that while we're in Golus, if Hashem had forsaken us, had left us, had despised us, had rejected us, then we wouldn't be experiencing such nisim. But to reflect upon Jewish history, it's just one big, enormous nis. That's what it is. And it's all this idea, like Rishu ben Chananya said, even in Golus, Hashem's hand is still upon us. It's behester upon him. We call it hester upon him. Hashem hides. Hashem's not as clear. We don't see Hashem on a daily basis. We don't see open miracles on a daily basis. But that doesn't mean Hashem's not there. It's just Hashem is hiding. That's all Hashem is doing. He's still there, and he's still functioning with the same hashgacha as before. He's taking care of Klal Yisrael in the same way as before. His love for us hasn't changed. The fact that Ram Nivchar has not changed. It's just that things are done a little bit more subtly behind the scenes, and we don't perceive it in the same way. That's all it is, the only difference. So this is the idea of a Jew in Golus. A Jew in Golus is still the Am Nivchar. We still have that power. We still have the ability to accomplish so much, to build so much, to do so much. So this is our perspective we can have. So what is our role? When we're in Golus, what is our role exactly? So Ali Shor, Rav Volpa, says a very interesting thing. I actually learned this with our shiur on Tuesday nights a few months back. What is our role in Golus right now? So Rav Volpa says our role in Golus is Dafka Zo Galusol Shel Am HaKadosh. The greatness of Klal Yisrael, the holy nation, is the following: Shom Betzarosa, we endure our troubles. Veino Nishbar Barucho, and we do not become broken, depressed people. Vezui Gvurasa, and this is our strength. He says that standing and enduring and tolerating Yisurim and still performing the Torah with an heroic act, in a heroic way, he says, without ever stumbling, that is the role of a Jew in Golus. When we do our best to protect ourselves and we don't want to have to suffer or endure, lo leinu, things should remain, you know, peaceful. But when a Jew has to go through the sufferings of Golus, what that means is that our job is to understand this is all Hashem's hashkacha upon us. Not because Hashem hates us, because Hashem loves us. Because Hashem feels that we are His nation, and that's why He's bringing it all upon us. That's our role in Golus. And if we can continue having those high spirits and those hopes, and with confidence, performing the Torah, doing Hashem's mitzvos, that's going to be the way in which we perform our avodah during the years of Golus. He calls it a gevura. That's the gevura Klal Yisrael. It's a certain maturity. And let's go back again to our mashal we used before. When somebody does have a role of power, responsibility, and they make a mistake. So we know the politicians typically will excuse their actions, whatever it is. But someone who's really mature and understands the power they have, understands the ramifications of their actions, they will own up to what they've done. They'll understand in a mature way, I understand I'm the wrong thing, I have to do what I can to fix it. And I would suggest that in Golus, what is our role? Our role is to also, in a mature manner, understand that we're here suffering based on the fact that we've done wrong things, made wrong choices, and we'll take responsibility for our actions and do our best to rectify those actions and to repair that which we've destroyed. Then Hashem will say, okay, you can come back to your position. I'll take you back there to Israel. You've learned your lesson. And that's our goal. If the CEO of the company makes a mistake, and instead of covering up for his mistakes, he comes and he confesses, says, I made a mistake. I understand that it was a very, very negative act, and it had a terrible impact on the company, but I'm ready to do whatever it takes to fix the mistake. So we respect him for that. It's a mature approach, it's an honest approach, and he's respected for that. So when we're in Golus, and we just ignore all that's happened in Jewish history, and we ignore the choices that were made by us or by our ancestors, we continue doing things which are not what Hashem wants out of us, so that's just covering up for the mistakes. And Hashem says, there's consequences, there's accountability. You're not performing your job right. I have to keep on showing you when it's to be done. But if we're able to make that decision and say, Hashem, we are mature people. We understand we've done wrong. Understand that which we've done has been destructive. We've done things which have impacted the entire world. which caused destruction, which have caused korban. If we can actually appreciate that, that's going to be the way in which Hashem will rebuild Beis Hamikdash and bring us back to our roles, and we can go sit back in our office as CEO once again. That's going to be that's our job here in Golos. So Chazal tell us that the Beis Hamikdash is not built in our days. It's as if we've destroyed it. That's what Chazal tell us, because Hashem will rebuild it in a second. If we're able to act right, and we're able to fix that which has been destroyed, Hashem will say, "Great, you've done the job. Here's the Beis Hamikdash once again. Everyone go back to Yisrael. We'll have peace. Won't be a problem." It's only because we're still carrying on the ways of our ancestors that's why we have not yet merited to see the Beis Hamikdash rebuilt. So I think an important reflection to have over the next 3 weeks is to reflect upon the idea that our actions are not insignificant. We're not a small, insignificant people. You might say, yeah, you know, who am I? What's the one person? Klal Yisrael is a very small nation. You know, how many Jews are there in the world anyways? How much can my action really mean? What's Hashem care about me so much? Why does Hashem want to look at my actions and respond to them? But if we understand that we're much more than a small, insignificant, ancient people, but yes, we are the most powerful people in the entire world, we have the power in our hands to build, to accomplish. The purpose of the whole world rests on our shoulders. That's what Hashem gave us, and empowered us, entrusted us with His mission in this world. If we contemplate that, if we understand that that's what we're here for, that's why Hashem made us who we are, and it's only because of that we have to suffer in Galus, so then that will drive us and motivate us to rebuild and to improve and do tshuva. Our actions, like we said, our actions and our moves, every single one is significant. It's powerful. Every word we say, every thought we have, every move we make is something which impacts Olamos, impacts the entire world. We have 3 weeks to try to identify with being the Aman Nivchar. How often do we stop and think that I am Hashem's chosen people? We do mitzvos. We do our best to be good Jews. But do we ever understand how powerful we are? We understand that we are Hashem's CEO. Hashem gave us the mission of history. And we're supposed to bring Hashem's will to the entire world. Do we ever think about that? This is, I think, the time to think about it. Like we said from the Arizal, Yom HaZanisela'am. This is the day you become a nation. Tisha B'Av is the time you become a nation, more so than Pesach, in some sense. Tisha B'Av is the time where we recognize how powerful we are. We are Hashem's nation, we are Hashem's people. I always think every single year, you know, it's very fun to celebrate Ad Yom Tovim. It's very easy. How hard is it to sit in Sukkah and Sukkis? To have a good meal on Purim, or to light Neros and Chanukah? You know, these are things which are very easy to do. To mourn and cry in Tisha B'Av is very, very difficult. Not only because, you know, Baruch Hashem, we don't necessarily feel the pain of the past 2,000 years, because we're living in a very peaceful time, Baruch Hashem. But also just from the fact that it's not something which we want to be involved with. It's not enjoyable. It's a very difficult day. It's a very hard day to tap into and to become emotionally connected with. But the truth is, we all know that we only cry upon those people and things which are closest to us. When Chas V'Shalom, a close relative, passes away, or something very meaningful to us is lost or destroyed, we cry because it's meaningful. We feel close. We feel connection. We feel the intimacy. A tear on Tisha B'Av, to me, is the most powerful way to identify with the Jewish people. Eating matzah on Pesach is a mitzvah, but anyone can eat pizza matzah. Sitting in the sukkah on Sukkot is a mitzvah, but anyone can go sit in the sukkah. Lighting candles, anyone can light a candle. But the shed a tear on Tisha B'Av shows that Klal Yisrael is close to my heart. I am part of the Am HaNivchor. This is my nation, my people. I'm part of their history. I identify with all that's happened over the past few thousand years. I look forward to a future of things which will be better, more powerful, more inspiring. And that tear Tisha B'Av to me is the most powerful way of the year to identify with Klal Yisrael. If we want to show that we feel connected with the Jewish people, we feel that we're one of the Am HaNivchor. We feel that we are one with all Klal Yisrael, both presently and in the past. How do we show that? It's that tear on Tisha B'Av. Because you can't cry fake tears. You only cry on the things which are really close to you, which are really meaningful to you. So this is our time to step into our role as chosen people. It's our time to mekabel yisur mi'ava. We have to accept the yisur of galus mi'ava that Hashem has given to us because He loves us, and we accept it out of love. And thereby, that will lead us and inspire us to really stepping into our mission and our role as the Am HaNivchor. So we should all be zocha that we should act as Hashem's Am HaNivchor, acting in a way which does bring Hashem's kavod to this world. We should be able to rectify the averos and the bad choices made by ourselves and by our ancestors. And through that, we should be able to see the rebuilding of this mikdash. Amen.